go back to Pesach. By the Pesach Seder, so it's a night of so many mitzvos. It's a night of Hallel. It's a night of Geula. And we talk about all these things. But I think there's an aspect of Geula that sometimes we miss on Pesach. We don't talk enough about Eretz Yisrael on the Seder night. We talk about Geula, which automatically in the mind of a Jew means Eretz Yisrael. But to really notice that the entire Seder actually is bookended by Eretz Yisrael. There's a Sefer called the Shaila Torah. And in that Sefer it brings that if you look carefully at the Haggadah, you'll notice that how does Magid begin? Halach Ma'anya. And what do we say as part of Halach Ma'anya? We say a Tefillah, Hashtahacha. Right? But next year, Shana Abba, Ba'arad Yisrael. So really we're beginning the mitzvah of Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim with a Tefillah that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us to Eretz Yisrael. How do we end the Seder? We also with a Tefillah, with a hope, Lashana Abba B'Yushalayim. And therefore the Shaila Torah points out, if you pay attention on the Seder night, the night of Geula, Geula is totally wrapped up, is bookended by our longing to be in Eretz Yisrael. And the truth is you can't really have Yitzias Mitzrayim without coming to Eretz Yisrael. To leave Mitzrayim and then what? And then to wander in the desert? That's Geula? That's Yitzias Mitzrayim? I'll show it to you in a halachic context. And on Shabbos, if there's no Erev, you're not allowed to carry. There's a prohibition of Hotzah. It's one of the 39 Malachos. Not allowed to carry. Tamaseches Shabbos begins. Yitzias HaShabbos, it delineates the various prohibitions of carrying. You can't take from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim or vice versa. What's the definition of Yitziah? What does it mean to do an act of Hotzah, of taking out? So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, you need to do an Akira, you need to lift something up, you need to do Hanacha, you need to place something down. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking us out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also needed to do a complete Maisa Hotzah, an act of Hotzah. And to do so, what does that mean? He needs to take us out of Mitzrayim, he needs to put us somewhere. This is what the Shem Yishmuel points out in Parsha Sav, from the year Tafresh Ayin Vav. It's about 100 years ago. In the name of the Agudas Ezov from Biala, it was one of his ancestors. And he says that, my grandfather explained, that to have Yitzias Mitzrayim, you need to leave one Rishus, but you also need to come to another Rishus. What was the transfer that was taking place? What was the Akira, the picking up, and the Hanacha, the placing down? Hashem picked us up out of Rishus HaRabim. Such a beautiful drash. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, which was Rishus HaRabim, a place of many gods, that the Svarim referred to as Alma de Piruda, a world of Pirud, a world of separation. And Hashem took us to Eretz Yisrael, which is Rishus HaYachid, the place where we see the one and only God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to have Yitzias Mitzrayim, to have a night of Geula, and again, that's where we're transitioning from. These are the days of Sfiras HaOmer. We're in the midst of transitioning out of Mitzrayim. To have Yitzias Mitzrayim, a complete Yitzia, a complete act of Hotzah, requires leaving Mitzrayim, but it also means getting to Eretz Yisrael. Now, I use this just by way of introduction to understand the context of the days in which we're in, but now I'm going to raise the thing that weighs upon me every single year, and we touched on it last year, those who were in this year, on Yom HaTzmut, and that is the feeling of a Ben Chutzlaretz on Yom HaTzmut. To have a day where Jews are reflecting on Eretz Yisrael and connecting to Eretz Yisrael and thinking about Eretz Yisrael, and yet we're sitting in Washington Heights, New York right now, is a strange thing. And we feel a little bit unworthy of talking about Eretz Yisrael. It's like the phrase you refer to someone who's watching a football game as an armchair quarterback. An armchair quarterback is a person who's sitting in front of his television with his feet up and a beer in his hand, watching the football game and screaming at the TV set, "Ki'ilu, I wouldn't have thrown that pass, or I wouldn't have called that play," as if he's an expert, as if he's one of the pros. When in reality, he's a guy who's just sitting back and watching the game from a distance. So that's a feeling that we have sometimes on a day like today, where people around the world, Befrat, the Yidden of Eretz Yisrael, are celebrating Eretz Yisrael, are connecting and deepening that kesher to the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, to connect to Medinas Yisrael, to connect to whatever Yom HaTzmut means to you. At the very least, it's a time to reflect Hakaras HaTov that we have in Eretz Yisrael that looks like the Eretz Yisrael that we have today. And yet at the same time, we're sitting here and we're talking about it and we're learning about it and we're philosophizing about it, and yet, right, we're not there. So it's a feeling that weighs upon me every year, and there's a feeling, again, that a Jew feels a little bit unworthy. Who am I, to say it very bluntly, right? Who am I to talk about Eretz Yisrael if I really love Eretz Yisrael so much? If everything we're going to talk about in the next 45 minutes, my kesher with Eretz Yisrael is so real, so why am I here and not there? Why am I not in the streets of Yerushalayim right now? Why am I sitting in a classroom in this beautiful Belfer in Washington Heights, New York? It's a question that again, I think we're all thinking about. And maybe, to make it a little harsher, to connect ourselves to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael this Shabbos, they're already a parsha ahead of us. They're reading Achrei Mos. And we're still catching up with Tazria Metzora, but they're already up to Achrei Mos Kedoshim. And in Achrei Mos, the Torah describes a Jew who gets thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, I hope that's not true about us, but we need to think about that for a second. The Pasuk says that, God forbid, if you bring Tumah to the land, v'titma ha'aretz v'efkod avona aleha v'taki ha'aretz es yoshveh. A very almost vulgar type of, you can never say something, the Torah says it's vulgar, but it's a very strange and uncomfortable lashon, v'taki, the land will vomit you out. You'll be spit out of the land. Right? Like something that's unhealthy to the body. That a Jew who's metame the land is unhealthy to Eretz Yisrael. So a person takes a step back and says, hold on a minute. I'm a religious person. I'm sitting in Washington Heights, New York, and I'm learning Torah, and I'm thinking about Eretz Yisrael, and maybe I daven with a little extra kavana today to thank the Kaddish Baruch Hu. My modim was a little bit different today, a little bit more of Akar Satov. And yet there could be a person who's an irreligious person in Eretz Yisrael, and there's Zocha to be in the land, and I'm stuck here. What does that mean? Does that mean that Hashem doesn't want me in Eretz Yisrael? There's a sefer called Chesed LaAvram, or Avram Azulai. Azulai is a famous rabbinic name, the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, an author of many, many svarms. His grandfather was Rav Avram Azulai. He wrote a sefer called Chesed LaAvram. And in that sefer he says, any Jew, such a powerful idea, how to look at a not yet religious person in Eretz Yisrael. Any Jew in Eretz Yisrael, by definition, the fact that they're in Eretz Yisrael and Hashem has not spit them out, means that what? It means they're a righteous person. Because the Torah promises that anyone who's metame the land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the land will spit you out, will throw you out. So the very fact that this person is zocha to be there means that you have to look at them as a tzaddik, as a righteous person. And the reverse is true about ourselves. Come in, don't be shy, don't be shy. We spoke about this already, don't be shy. We spoke about that you're going to be shy, but don't be shy. Come in. Welcome, welcome. So a Jew who's in Eretz Yisrael by definition means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has invited them to stay in the land. And a Jew who's been kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, whether again we left by choice or we feel that we were thrown out of the land, by definition, we have to ask ourselves, why did Hashem not allow me to be in the land? Why am I sitting here, again, in New York City, as opposed to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, and reflecting from a distance, and trying to connect and celebrate what it means to have a kesher to Eretz Yisrael? How deep is our connection to Eretz Yisrael? And again, I think it's a feeling that many of us can relate to. I'm not going to even ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure there's at least one person in the room who feels that way. Now, what does it mean to celebrate Eretz Yisrael when we're so far away from Eretz Yisrael? But I think it's a mistake. I mamash think it's a mistake, and I think it's just the opposite. I've got at least one more chair to offer you. We'll take turns. I'm sorry, you can grab chairs. There's probably other classrooms you can grab chairs. A chair in the back. We'll make it work. I think Dafka Jews in Chutz La'aretz have more of a right and an obligation to speak about Eretz Yisrael than anyone else. Meaning we feel, who am I to speak about Eretz Yisrael? If I love Eretz Yisrael so much, why am I not living in Eretz Yisrael? Who am I to celebrate Eretz Yisrael? What am I doing here if I love Eretz Yisrael so much? But I think just the opposite. I think the fact that we're here means that more than anyone, we have an obligation and a responsibility to ourselves and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to talk about Eretz Yisrael. To keep up the connection to Eretz Yisrael. You know, the Bali Musar say, the Pasuk, He'emanti ki adaber. The Bali Musar interpreted, He'emanti, you know why I have emunah ki adaber? Because I talk about God. If I want to believe in God, I have to make Him part of the conversation. So if I want to make Eretz Yisrael part of my life, even though, again, I feel funny talking about it from such a great distance, but if I want it to be real, if I want the possibility of returning to Eretz Yisrael to be something that I never lose sight of, so then of course I need to be speaking about it. And of course I have to be thinking about it. I have an obligation to myself and to Klal Yisrael. And of course, Emor Ma'at V'Aseh Harbeh, I could sit here for the next 50 years, giving Shiurim on Eretz Yisrael, talking about Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Ikar is to get to Eretz Yisrael. The main thing is to live there. To spend time in Eretz Yisrael, but at least if I'm talking about it, I haven't forgotten about it. It shows that I'm still connected to it. I want to be there. And for whatever reason, I'm not yet there. But I long to be there. And I'm not settling in Galus. I'm not happy being in Galus. They tell a story. It was a sweltering hot day. In the olden days, you didn't have air conditioning. Where would you go to cool off? You'd go down to the cellar, into the basement. So people had, you know, these outdoor cellar entrances. So this person, he swings open, this elderly gentleman, he swings open the cellar. And he peers down, and it's momish pitch black in there, but he feels the cool air rushing up, and he wants to get out of the hot sun, and he starts very slowly to make his way down the steps. And he hears a voice down below. Someone else who's hiding out down there trying to cool off a bit. And he says, close the door, you're letting in all the warm air. He says, come. He says, it's very dark. He says, don't worry, your eyes will adjust to the dark. So he says, that's exactly what I'm worried about. I don't want to be sitting in the dark and think that this is bright. I don't want to be sitting in gullus and think this is fine, this is okay, this is good enough. I want to be bothered by the fact. And if I'm talking about Eretz Yisrael, that's an indication that I still feel a connection to Eretz Yisrael. That I'm not going to give up on that feeling for anything in the world. And I'm not going to allow myself to settle in Golis as if this is where I want to be. Please, come in. Please don't be shy. I'm sorry I don't have much to offer you. But make yourself comfortable as humanly possible. When the Jews went into Golis for the first time, when Klal Yisrael, as a people, went into Golis, they went to Mitzrayim. Yaakov's family was settling in Mitzrayim. But they weren't settling in Mitzrayim. Let's look at the first pasuk in Shemos together. Ve'ele Shemos b'nei Yisrael. What's the next word? Haba'im Mitzrayim. These are the names of the Jewish people, B'nai Yisrael, the children of Yaakov. Haba'im Mitzrayim. Es Yaakov ish ubeso ba'u. So Rabbi Yeshua of Belz, the Belz Rebbe, points out, why doesn't it say Haba'im? Why doesn't it say these are the names of the Jews, Asher Ba'u Mitzrayim? Lashon Avar. What do you mean Haba'im Mitzrayim? As if they're just arriving. We already had a list of the names in Parshas Vayigash. We know who these people are. They've been in Mitzrayim for a period of time already. What do you mean Haba'im Mitzrayim? They're just getting to Mitzrayim? And the Belz Rebbe said that's exactly what Yaakov Avinu was davening. That Yaakov knew they were going to be stuck in Mitzrayim for a long time, but never for a second to accept, this is where I am, this is where I belong. I'm Ba'im, I just got here. I just got here, and as soon as I can get on a plane, I'm getting out of here. And again, I might be here for a good reason. It might be a necessary part. It was necessary for Klal Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim to refine themselves to be worthy of Kabbalah Satorah. But not for a second did they lose sight of what it meant to be there. We're only here as visitors, Ba'im. We're coming to visit. We just arrived. And as soon as we can get back to our home, we're vacationing in Mitzrayim. It was quite the vacation in Mitzrayim, 210 years of horrible slavery. But this is not where I live. This is not where I belong. And this is not where I'm going to stay. And I want to quote a Kli Yakar. Again, we're learning, the halacha is you're supposed to learn the week's parsha, but since today we're holding by Eretz Yisrael in our minds, we have to learn where they're up to. They're learning Achrei Mos Kedoshim. They're a week ahead of us. Eventually it'll even out. But for the time being, we're going to have to learn Achrei Mos. Right? And really, because we have Mitzorah, it's probably you'll hear in Shul if you go to Shul the Shabbos. But Eretz Yisrael is by Achrei Mos. There's a Kli Yakar in Achrei Mos that just send chills down our spine. The Kli Yakar is explaining the pasuk that says, "Kemasa Eretz Mitzrayim asher yashavtem ba lo sasu," like the way that the Egyptians act, that's not for you. "Kemasa Eretz Mitzrayim," the behavior of the Egyptians, "asher yashavtem ba," the place that you lived for a long time, you learned a lot. Unfortunately, you absorbed some of their messages, but lo sasu, that's not for you. Says the Kli Yakar, which two words are seemingly superfluous in the pasuk? Why does it have to say "Kemasa Eretz Mitzrayim asher yashavtem ba"? Yeshavtem, but you live there? The land of Mitzrayim that you live, don't do. Why couldn't the Torah just say, Kamas Eretz Mitzrayim, lo sasu? Don't do Egyptian things. It's a different culture, it's a different way of life. It's not what I have in mind when I think about a holy nation, like the Jewish people. Listen to the words of the Kli Yakar. Hakosav Mashim Es Yisrael Asher Bikshu Leshev Yeshiva Shel Keva B'Mitzrayim. The Torah is rebuking, is finding guilty the Jewish people over the fact that they wanted to establish themselves permanently in Mitzrayim. How do you see that in the pasuk? Valzen Amarkan, Kemasa Eretz Mitzrayim, Kaosa Maisa Shasisim Eretz Mitzrayim. The Torah is saying, don't do what you did in Mitzrayim. And what did you do in Mitzrayim? Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim, Lo Sasu. What words does the pasuk add? Umahu Amaisa Hara Asher Asisim. What did you do wrong when you were in Mitzrayim last time? Asher Yashavtim Ba. Asher Yashavtim Ba. And the Jews, Yashavtim, but the yeshiva in Mitzrayim, the feeling of being stuck in Mitzrayim, was beyond their control. But yet we see when they left, they were always saying, maybe we should have stayed in Mitzrayim, maybe we should go back to Mitzrayim. There was something permanent about their connection to Mitzrayim, which was very broken, was very off. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Kemasa Eretz Mitzrayim, the way that you are in Mitzrayim, Asher Yashavtim Bo, where you decide to settle there, Lo Sasu, don't do that ever again. Lo sasu od ke'ela levakish yeshiva shel keva, among such a nation, and to attach yourselves to them. Pantilmadu ma'aseyim ki kein kara lachem Mitzrayim. That's what happened in the past. Don't let it happen again. I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim and you're never going back to that place. And don't ever, wherever you go, don't think that that's your place unless it's Eretz Yisrael. Listen to the words, the very famous words, of the very famous author, Rav Taichta, in his name of Adam Smecha. I'm going to read to you from the English edition. This is in chapter 3 on page 369, if you want to take a look. There's a lot more here that I'm going to read to you. But he describes what he refers to as the Galus Yid, the exiled Jew. And it's very harsh, but this is a person who saw the Nazis wiping out Klal Yisrael. And he still saw that people weren't getting the message. They didn't chap that, like, maybe we should try to go somewhere else. Maybe we should think about going back to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that's where we belong. Maybe that's where we're from. Be'etzem. That's the essence of who we are. He writes very directly. He's writing to the Golus Jew. He's writing to each and every one of us. Ask yourselves, are you attached to Eretz Yisrael or are you attached to Chutz La'aretz? I will now address the exiled Jew, specifically you, exiled Jew. You are so attached to the clods of earth of these lands of exile that even if oppressors smite you ruthlessly all day long, you become reconciled with your dwelling place the moment they relent. That means the Jewish people are suffering throughout Golus for a long time and we're getting kicked around. Right? And Baruch Hashem, America is a Medina Shel Chesed. We've had tremendous Baruch Hashem prosperity, both in Ruchnius and Gashmius in America, and Mirz Hashem, B'li Ayin Hara, to continue. But that doesn't mean that this is our place. We're still a Golish Jew who's so attached, he says, to the clods of earth of these lands. And the second that, you know, all of a sudden there's like a little bit of a calm after the storm, all of a sudden the Jews, there were Jews after the Holocaust who were going back to their homes as if they still thought there was something there. Forget whether physically there was going to be anything left of their homes. But as if they thought, maybe we could start again in such a place. Says Rav Teichtel, did you not get the message? You do not take, quote, tomorrow into consideration at all. You do not consider that tomorrow the oppressor will once again lift his hand against you and smite you. Sometimes tomorrow means immediately. Sometimes it means after a while. During almost 2,000 years in exile, you received recurring blows, but you still have not learned from the past to contemplate the future. And he concludes, in other words, the greatest tragedy of the Jewish people is that they do not want to learn a lesson from the bitter and disastrous misfortunes that befall them. And Chas Hashem, we're not asking this. We're not asking Hashem to chase us out of America in a harsh and cruel way. Herein lies the Jewish tragedy, he says. A word to the wise is sufficient. And he goes on talking to this Galus Yid, as he refers to him, this exiled Jew, who doesn't yet understand, this is not my place. And that's something that, again, we need to think about on a day like today. Where there's a part of us that feels, if I was in Eretz Yisrael, Dicky Yid, so why am I not in Eretz Yisrael? Right? Maybe this is my place, but a Jew has to realize this is not my place. I belong in Eretz Yisrael, I come from Eretz Yisrael, I'm in transition back to Eretz Yisrael, Habayim America. I came temporarily to America, and that stay might last for a week, it might last for 50 years. But I'm in transit back to Yerushalayim, because that's really where I come from. I'm sure some people in the room read Yehuda Avner's Prime Ministers. An excellent book. He's a fascinating person who passed away actually very recently. Very interesting Jew. Very interesting life experience. And it's a glimpse into some of the inner chambers of some of the great Prime Ministers of Medinas Yisrael. So he describes, he once shared a story that when he was appointed as the ambassador to the United Kingdom, this was back in 1983. What happened? There was a fellow by the name of Shlomo Argov, who was the Israeli ambassador to the UK, who, Rahman al-Hassan, they tried to assassinate him, and he was very, very badly injured. He didn't die from that, but he was essentially taken out of his position entirely, was unable to work beyond that point. And Yehuda Avner took over his position. And he met with the Queen of England, he met with Queen Elizabeth, and he was presenting his credentials to her. And she says to him, one of the first things she says to him, she says, it's so interesting. She says to him, you were born here. You were born in Britain. And you left towards the end of 1947 to Palestine, which it was at the time. And she said, it's so interesting. Now, you're coming back as, you're an Englishman, right? You were born here. You're coming back, but you're coming as an ambassador of the land of Israel back to your homeland. And he says to her, this is not my homeland. He says to her, something that she clearly couldn't understand because she quickly changed the topic to talk about the weather. That's true. She was uncomfortable by what he said. But he says to her, my soul comes from Jerusalem. And the soul of all of the Jewish people throughout the exiles, regardless of where I was, geographically, where was I physically born, you're right. This is my, I guess, in that sense, my body comes from such a place. I was physically born here. But don't for a second think that this is where I'm from. Don't think this is, it's funny that I'm coming from Eretz Yisrael to be an ambassador here. Eretz Yisrael is my place. That's where I am. That's where my neshama comes from. And that's why a chutz la'aretz Jew has to say to himself, I am a person from Eretz Yisrael. That is like a shtick if someone asks you, where are you from? Right. There's a part of us that should be able to answer, but Pem Mully, in a very sincere and real way, I am from Eretz Yisrael. I am from Yerushalayim. Could be I've never spent a day in my life there. Right. It could be I'm not planning on living there anytime soon. But a Jew has to know the essence of who I am, not my body, but my neshama, by definition, came from Eretz Yisrael. And the more we talk about it, Ha'amanti ki adaber, the more you talk about Emuna, the more you believe in Hashem, the more you talk about Eretz Yisrael, the more you connect to Eretz Yisrael. It becomes real to you. It's something that makes up the essence of who you are. In YU this year, we're learning Maseches Ksubis. And Maseches Ksubis has some of the more famous statements about Eretz Yisrael. Probably one of the most famous and scary statements about Eretz Yisrael is the Gemara that appears in Ksubis on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, La'olam yidur adam be'eret Yisrael. Better to live in the land of Israel. Afilu be'ir sheruba ovdei kochav. Better to live as an isolated Jew. Yeah? Surrounded by our cousins, the Ishmaelim. So surrounded by people who are pagans, who worship Avodah Zarah. Va'al yidur b'chutz la'aretz va'afilu be'ir sheruba Yisrael. Better to live in Eretz Yisrael by yourself, surrounded by those who practice Avodah Zarah, than to live in Chutz La'aretz, in Borough Park, and be surrounded by shuls and shtiblach, and be surrounded by kosher restaurants. Better to be a lone settler in Eretz Yisrael. Why? As if it wasn't harsh enough. Here's the end of Maamar Chazal. Shekol adar be'Eretz Yisrael doma kemi sheyesh lo eloka. Because a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael is like one who has a God. V'chol hadar b'chutz la'aretz doma kemi sheein lo eloka. A person who lives in Chutz La'aretz is like a person who lives a godless life. It's pretty harsh, no? That's enough to sit here and cry. Well, maybe Sadmer's got it right. Maybe we should say a few kinos today. Just the fact that we're stuck in... Although I was wondering this morning, if Sadmer... You know, it's a machlokas around the yeshiva here. If you should say halal today, you should say tomorrow. I think Rav Goldach says today. I think Rav Shechter holds Hayir, you should say tomorrow. So I wonder, like, when does Sadmer fast? Do they follow Rav Goldach? Do they follow Rav Shechter? It's a big machlokas. I'm sure people are writing about it. Yeah, but what does it mean? Doma kemisha ein lo eloka. If you're stuck in Chutz La'aretz, even if you have the most Jewish community, and you surround yourself with frum yidden, and all sorts of wonderful opportunities to connect to Hashem, it's a godless existence. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's really one of the most uncomfortable, unsettling lines that a Jew, and the staff why we need to think about it. To ask yourself, so what am I doing here? And again, you might be here with a very good, you may have thought it out, you may have spoken to people you seek advice from, and there might be a very clear and calculated reason why you're here right now. But it's a question you have to ask yourself on a daily basis. It's a conversation I'm having time and time again with my wife, wondering, when are we going to go? Right? Are we here for a reason? Do we have an explanation for why we're here? Because if not, what are we doing here? We're living a life. Doma kemisha ein lo eloka. But since we are stuck here right now, since we are sitting in a classroom in Washington Heights, New York, I think we need to try to be mechazik ourselves a little bit with this Maamar Chazal. This Maamar Chazal that's so hurtful to us, and should make us hopefully, you know, be on a plane by this afternoon. But I think we can also draw some chizik from it. How so? There's a sefer called the Avodas Pnim. The Avodas Pnim was written by Rav Aaron Luria. He was a Slonimer Chassid who lived in Tveria. And in Perek Aleph, Perek called Yisodei HaAvodah HaPnimis in Os Nun Vav, he says, why does the Gemara say that if you live in Israel, it's doma, it's comparable, it's like you believe in God. It's like you have a God. And if you live in Chutz La'aretz, it's doma, it's like you don't have a God. Why does it say doma? It's as if you have a God. It's as if you don't have a God. He explains. Because living physically in Eretz Yisrael is not the be-all and end-all. We have to also develop an Eretz Yisrael like an attitude. What does that mean? That means it's possible to be, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you're off to a good start. There's a better chance you will live a more godly existence. We have to accept that also. And if you're living in Chutz La'aretz, you're up against many more things that are taking you away from elokus, from godliness. But just being there is not an automatic guarantee that you're connected to what Eretz Yisrael is about. And he writes, Ayoshev b'Chutz La'aretz, a person who's living in Chutz La'aretz, v'kosher b'pnimius nafshel Eretz Yisrael, and spends every single morning you wake up and you say moda'an, you say, thank you Hashem for making me alive, but I really hope soon I'm going to wake up one morning, I'm going to be in Yerushalayim. Because you're connected to Eretz Yisrael, b'pnimius nafshel, v'chukaso l'dor ba, and he's thinking, I want so badly to live there. Again, there's a reason why I'm stuck here right now. And hopefully it's a good reason. If it's not, let's get out of here. But if there's a good reason why I'm stuck here, I should still be waking up every single day saying, I have a tshuka, I have a longing, I'm still talking about Eretz Yisrael, I'm still thinking about Eretz Yisrael, I still feel that I have a right to connect myself to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore a person who lives in that way, Hari Be'emes Yeshul Eloka, that person does have a connection to the God of Israel. Because he's a Ben Eretz Yisrael, this person. He's connected to Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough to just physically be in Eretz Yisrael. Right? And the fact that you're in Chutz La'aretz, it's Domek Mishtein Lelokha. There's a good chance, again, you're up against many things that will take you away from godliness. But a person, he's being mechazik, if you attach yourself, if your mindset is an Eretz Yisrael mindset, so you can be connected to Eretz Yisrael. You can see yourself, not as a joke. Like Yehuda Avner said, I'm from Yerushalayim. And every Jew should be able to say, I am from Yerushalayim. That's where I come from. During World War I, the Turks were controlling Eretz Yisrael. And at that time, the Turks had this strange program. They were trying to throw out anyone who was a foreigner, anyone who wasn't born in the land of Israel, Palestine, was being thrown out. And anyone who was willing to swear that they were born there was allowed to stay. didn't necessarily always have great records. If you were prepared to swear to the face of the government officials that you were born there, that was enough to stay. Okay, strange policy, but that's the truth, that's how it was. Rabbi Citron, who was the son-in-law of the Rogachev Gaon, Rav Yosef Rosen, wrote a letter. He sent correspondence to his father-in-law, the Rogachev. Rabbi Citron was not born in Eretz Yisrael, but he was living there at the time. And he wrote to the Rogachev Gaon, the great genius of Rogachev, of Yosef Rosen, to ask him, am I allowed to swear falsely? He said, first of all, I'll think to myself, this is not a real shua. And more than that, maybe it's pikuach nefesh, maybe I'm allowed. He wanted to know, am I allowed to lie? It just shows his yashrus even to ask such a question. And the Rogachev Gaon, in his brilliant and cryptic and terse style, wrote back, ayin ksubis ayin hayam raf. Take a look at the Gemara in Ksubis 75a. Okay, so Rabbi Citron went and he opened it up. The Rogachev always wrote this way, by the way. When you would write the Rogachev a question, he would respond. This was like an easy one to figure out. You only have one page of Gemara to learn, you can figure it out. Normally the Rogachev would say, I ain't here, I ain't there, look at this, look at that. And you have to connect like 100 different sources to figure out how this brilliant Talmudic scholar, you know, understood all of these different sources. He was very funny, the Rogachev also. One time someone wrote him a letter. They wrote to the Rogachev, they had some question. And the Rogachev wrote back all these, like, you know, this whole array of sources. Look at this Rambam, look at this Gemara, look at this Tosfos. The guy didn't understand what he was talking about. So he asked someone who was, I guess a more advanced scholar. And he said to him, can you decipher this response from the Rogachev? So he looked at it and he started laughing. He said, the Rogachev wrote back all the places in Chazal where it talks about Aham Haaretz. The Rogachev thinks your question is a stupid question. That was the Rogachev. He was very sharp. But anyways, he wrote back to his son-in-law, look at Ksubis Ayin Hayamad Aleph. What do you find in Ksubis Ayin Hayamad Aleph? The Gemara says, quoting a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Pei Zayin, Ulitzion Ye Amar, Ish V'ish Yuladba, V'hu Yechon Neha Elyon. Says the Gemara, in the name of the grandson of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Echad HaNoladba, V'echad HaMetzapel Osa. Whether you were born there, or whether you long to see it, says the pasuk Ulitzion Ye Amar, Ish V'ish Yuladba. Says the Rogachev, your desire to be in Israel makes you a Ben Eretz Yisrael. You were born in Eretz Yisrael. Yes, physically you weren't born there, but you should feel comfortable swearing to the Turks that I am a person from Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Avodas Pnim is talking about. That's an Eretz Yisrael mindset. A person who is longing for Eretz Yisrael. He wants to be so badly in Eretz Yisrael. And he understands that it is possible, if I'm stuck in Chutz Laaretz, I can still be connected to Eretz Yisrael. I shouldn't be embarrassed. I shouldn't feel unworthy of having a catch. I should feel embarrassed maybe that I'm here. But I shouldn't feel that because I'm here, I have no right to talk about Eretz Yisrael. I should forget about Eretz Yisrael. No, just the opposite. More than anyone, we need to be talking about it. That's the ticket to getting back to Eretz Yisrael. To think about Eretz Yisrael. To try to develop an Eretz Yisrael mindset, even in Chutz Laaretz. As one of my friends told me a couple of years ago, we were sitting in Camp Masora, and he said, I probably shared this with you once, some of you at least in the past. But he said such a deep idea. He said, you could be sitting in Yerushalayim, you're a Kodesh, and you're in Big Apple Pizza. Or you could be in New York City, and you're in Jerusalem Pizza. It depends where your mind is. It's a deep fart. It's a deep fart. Just because you're physically within the border of Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean that you're an Eretz Yisrael type of Jew. And just because you're stuck in New York doesn't mean that you have no connection to the God of Israel. But it's a question of where do I want to be? And hopefully, again, if I'm stuck here, I'm going to get back there soon. But it's something that we think about. Something that we think about a lot. But I think there's another reason why sometimes on a day like today, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or not, whether you were born there or not, there's something that hopefully on a day like today where we come face to face with Eretz Yisrael, we're thinking about it maybe more so than on a typical day, there's something that makes us very uncomfortable. Something else that makes us feel unworthy of Eretz Yisrael. Let's assume we can get past the fact that I wasn't born in Eretz Yisrael, because I believe my neshama is from Eretz Yisrael. There's still something that holds us back from connecting to Eretz Yisrael. We're uncomfortable when we think about Eretz Yisrael. What is it? It's the fact that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, if we're Torah Jews, and we think about what Eretz Yisrael is, the gift of Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that itself is very overwhelming. The responsibility of going to Eretz Yisrael is a massive responsibility. You can't sum up the entire experience between falafel and shawarma, right? Or even a trip to the Kotel. You have to stop and think, what does it mean to be in the presence of the King? I'm walking into the King's palace. How would I feel when I walk into the King's palace? Because Eretz Yisrael demands of me every second that I'm there, growth, spiritual growth. I think I shared last year, but I'll share it again. The Beis Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, in the Sefer Beis Yitzchak in Parsha Shlach, he explains when the Meraglim are trying to silence Kalev. Kalev is trying to rally the people, let's go to Eretz Yisrael, we can do it. And the Meraglim come and say, you're crazy. It's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehi. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. Says the Heilige Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, Eretz Yisrael is Ocheles Yoshveh. If you're sitting still in Eretz Yisrael, if you're not growing and you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be devoured. You're going to be swallowed up. Because the Kedusha of the land demands greatness of you. There's an expectation. If you understand what Eretz Yisrael is really about. Not if you just happen to be there and have no real connection to the God of Israel. But if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, because you understand what that means, the gift of Eretz Yisrael, and you're connected to that, you come to that place and you say, how do I want to be different day in and day out in Eretz Yisrael? Because Eretz Yisrael is Ocheles Yoshveh. It swallows up a person who sits still. A Jew has to be a holy. I have to be moving forward. Ask myself, what's next? Where do I go from here? And Eretz Yisrael is a place where you step off the plane. And again, there's tremendous excitement and feelings of love, but there's also a sense, there's a sense of bittul, a sense of humility. I'm coming into the king's palace. I feel an obligation, the weight of servitude upon my shoulders. My brother shared with me once a comment from the Shlach Kadosh, the holy Shlach. In Parshas Lech Lecha, in the section Torah Or of his writings, he says, why is it that we still refer to Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Canaan, even after the Canaanim left? Look in the Torah. It still calls it Canaan. Is it just a throwback to once upon a time there were people from Canaan, called Canaanim, who lived there? Why do we still, after we took over, why is it still called Eretz Canaan? Says the Shlach Kadosh, Ela Kavana ki Canaan hu Eved. Who was Canaan, the person Canaan? Canaan was cursed to be an Eved. Gam Canaan, Lashon Hachna'a. Canaan is also a Lashon of Hachna'a, which means what? Humility. It means a sense of bittul. Again, self-negation. And if you want to have a connection to Eretz Yisrael, you come to Eretz Yisrael like Canaan. You come as a sense with a sense that of Avdus, that I need to be an Eved here. And being an Eved is not a small thing. Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life is called an Eved Hashem. It takes a lifetime of serious work to be worthy of the title a true Eved Hashem. You come Canaan with Hachna, with humility, with a sense of bittul. V'ikr malas v'kiyum ha'aretz. If you want to be connected to Eretz Yisrael, you can't just bounce off the plane. There's a part of us that wants to just go and enjoy the beautiful weather, the opportunities, and even if they're spiritual opportunities. But there has to be, there's a little bit of ourselves that when you walk in the presence of the king, you're walking in the palace, there's a part of us that should be intimidated and should be frightened. And Eretz Yisrael is questioning you, like we saw earlier in Parshas Achrimos. That again, if you're not worthy, Eretz Yisrael is going to spit you out of the land. It's something that comes with tremendous, tremendous responsibility in both a positive sense and a negative sense. I want to read to you the words of the Kotzker. Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotzk, everyone's heard of the Kotzker. The Holy Kotzker writes, it's brought in the Sefer Emes V'Emunah, in those tough Chav Tes, 429, and he's explaining another pasuk that they're going to be reading in Eretz Yisrael this Shabbos. Kedoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah calls to the Jewish people, be holy, kedoshim tiyu, be a holy person. And remember, ki kadosh ani, because I am holy, says Hashem. Says the Kotzker, what does it mean? See, we sometimes think, when I grow in holiness, then I get more comfortable. Says the Kotzker, and it's classic Kotz, demanding of oneself. The Kotzker says, no, ki kadoshim tiyu, now that you're a little bit more holy, remember, ki kadosh ani, now you understand a little bit more who a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. You understand how saintly, how holy, how pure, and all these words are belittling to call God by any of these terms. You start to understand who Hashem really is. The greater you are, the more that's demanded of you. Says the Kotzker, al derech mashal, dom laholich b'chatzar ha-melech. It's like a person who's walking in the king's courtyard. You're not in the presence of the king yet, you're just in the courtyard, outside, in the garden. Sheish lo pachad, but you're frightened. Hanichlas la bayis, now you walk through, you walk past the guards. You're in the palace now, you're still not in the presence of the king, but you're in the palace. You're trembling that much more. You step a little further in, you're that much more afraid. Says the Kotzker. If you've truly grown, if you've become a Kadosh, then you understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, imagine what the Kedush of Hashem must be, and you become frightened. So coming to Eretz Yisrael while it's such an opportunity is a pachad. It's scary, says the Kotzker. He's not talking in the context of Eretz Yisrael. But certainly when we talk about Arzeinu HaKadosha, the Holy Land, the more you connect to it, the more frightened you are. The more Eretz Yisrael is kind of pushing you back. And you feel almost unwelcome there. You feel humbled by it. You feel that you have to come with your head bent down like an Eved, the Fnei Rava, coming before the Melech Malchei Melachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very, very intimidating. There's a comment that the Sefer Yetzirah, one of the earliest works of Kabbalah, makes in Parak Vav. It says that everything in the world exists in three dimensions. It's referred to as Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Olam means a place in the world. Shana means a time, a period in the Shana, in the calendar year. Nefesh means a soul, a corresponding person. So everything exists in these three dimensions. Right? Time, place, and person. And I think what the culture is telling us, that the more holy you are, the more that's demanded from you, is true in all three of those dimensions. Let's talk on the realm of nefesh, people. A person who's more holy, you would think because he's doing so great or she's doing so great, that God is like more chilled out with you. Just the opposite. Because you hold yourself to a higher standard, Hashem continues to expect more from you. For example, the Gemara says in Bava Kama Daf Nun, it's also Gemara in Yevamos Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. On the pasuk in Tehillim, Usvivav Nisara Ma'od, Me'lamit Shekadosh Baruch Hu Medaktik Im Svivav Afilu Kuchot Hasar. Those who are Saviv, those who are around God, the closest ones to God, Hashem is the most demanding of them. Moshe Rabbeinu was a little out of line, and all of a sudden, he's not Zochet Eretz Yisrael. Hashem treats him so harshly. Hashem is Medaktik, he judges Sadikim Kuchot Hasar. Like the as fine as a hair. Right? That's how precisely Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking at you. Why? I'm such a good Jew to begin with. But Kedusha demands more Kedusha. Or how about the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, and Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph? Also, Ahu Saba, a certain elder Jew, which usually refers to Eliyahu HaNavi, sometimes that's a code word in the Gemara for Eliyahu HaNavi, came and he taught, Kol HaGadol Mechavero, the bigger a person you are, Yitzro Gadol Heimen. Your Yitzhar gets bigger. That's how you maintain Bechira. You create a balance of free choice. If you spiritually grew and your Yitzhar couldn't keep up, you would never make any wrong choices. You wouldn't make any choices at all. You wouldn't be a person of free will. But that's a strange thing. The bigger I am, the better I am, the more that's demanded of me. And it's true for individual tzaddikim, for each and every one of us. It's true for us as a people. That Hashem says the Jewish people are held to a higher standard. There's an expectation. There's an expectation that you're going... Last week's Parsha, for those of us who are in Chutzlars, we read Parsha Shmini. We learned about Kashrus. So the Medrash, the famous Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah that some of the Rishonim bring, the Medrash gives a mashal of two people who are sick. And the doctor comes around and he says to one of them, you can eat whatever you want. To the other one he says, you, very strict diet. I want you watching everything that goes into your mouth. And he says, that's not fair. You told the other guy he can eat whatever he wants. So the doctor says, you're such a fool. Don't you realize? The fact that I'm letting him do whatever he wants means I can't help him. He's on his way out. You, because I believe I can heal you, I'm giving you this very detailed regimen of what you're allowed to eat, what you're not allowed to eat. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, because I believe in you, because you're so holy, so holiness demands restrictions, it demands further holiness. That's what we find when we talk about Kedusha on the realm of Nefesh. That the more holy you are, the more God wants for you. The Mishnah that we're all familiar with, part of Pirkei Avos, it's really a Mishnah in Maseches Makos, that says, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Hashem likes us, and therefore what? So he gives us a couple mitzvahs? No. Lefichach, hir v'lehem Torah mitzvahs. God loves you and trusts you so much that he piles obligations upon you. But that shows your greatness. The greater you are, the more that's expected of you. That's on the realm, that's in the world of nefesh, in the world of souls. The Jewish people are held to a different standard. A tzaddik is held to a different standard. What about in time? In time, it's the same thing. There are times that are holy and the expectations are totally changed. It's a totally different playing field. It's not just that the tzaddik, when we're talking in the realm of nefesh, is like a slightly better person. It's a different type of person. When we talk in time, it's the same idea. Shabbos is not just the best day of the week. It's not just like an enhanced chol. It's a totally, totally different sphere. It operates totally differently. It's not just a few different halachos, and a few different anhagos, and a different shemona esrei, and a couple different things that we do. Shabbos is an entirely different universe. When a Jew comes to Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah encourages a person. He says, it's interesting, I was just teaching this week. You know, on Shabbos, a person has to speak differently. The Navi Yishai says, V'daber davar. The way we speak on Shabbos is more restrained. We don't talk, there's halachos in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Simen Shin Vav, Shin Zayin, chapter 306 and 307 of the Shulchan Aruch discusses what you're allowed to say on Shabbos, what you're not allowed to say. We sing in the Nizmiros, Hir Hurim Utarim, you're allowed to think certain things that you can't say, right? If you're talking about something after Shabbos, but it's a mitzvah thing, L'shadei Chavanos, we sing in the Nizmiros, to talk about Shaduchim is a mitzvah, so you're allowed to do that. Certain things are allowed, certain things are not allowed. Says the Ramah, Paskins the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, Uvnei Adam, Shesiper Shmuos, V'divrei Chidushim Hu Oneg Lehem. Let's say the type of person who likes the Shmuos. But Yishaya Nabi says, V'daber Daber. You can't talk as much on Shabbos. A little bit of restraint. Let's say it's oneg for you. It's pleasureful for you to speak. That's how you get oneg Shabbos. Some people it's an extra bowl of cholent. Some people it's a good Shabbos shluch in the afternoon. Some people it's sitting around and having time to talk. Says the Rambam, if that's your oneg, if that's your pleasure, mutun l'saper b'Shabbos k'mo b'chol. You can do that on Shabbos because that's your Oneg Shabbos. But says the Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah, but be careful. Don't lose sight of what Shabbos is about. Shabbos was given to us as a day of spirituality, of neshama building, of Torah, says the Chafetz Chaim. Even a person who enjoys other things, and it's a mitzvah on Shabbos to eat more and to sleep a little more, but the essence of the day, says the Chafetz Chaim, is what? Is Limud Torah. To try to connect spiritually to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Talmud Yerushalmi writes in Masechah Shabbos, Shabbos was given for one purpose, Lo Nidna Shabbosos, Ella, to learn Torah. That's the only reason God gave us Shabbos. So what do you think? You think, well, during the week, I learn X amount. So Shabbos, I should learn a little bit more. And that's all it is. Shabbos is just a little more of a commitment to studying God's Torah. Wrong. It's a totally different Limud Torah on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliyahu Lopian quotes in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, in the late Eliyahu. He says, I heard from the Chafetz Chaim, during the week when a person learns Torah, we say Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Every word that you learn counts for 613 mitzvahs. It's the best mitzvah. It's the most direct contact you have with God when you study His Torah. Says the Chafetz Chaim, quoted by Rabbi Eliyahu Lopian, when you learn Torah on Shabbos, well, Shabbos is also Keneged Kulam. So that means every word of Torah that you learn on Shabbos is 613 times 613. So is Shabbos just like a little bit better? The Ben Ish Chai, one of the great Sephardi poskim, lives about 100 years ago in Baghdad. He writes in Parsha Shmos, "V'chein kosu mekubalim." I have a tradition from the Kabbalists. "Shegadol ha'poel anasim me'esek haTorah b'yom haShabbos, elef pamim yoser min anasim me'esek haTorah shel yemei achol." When a Jew learns a word of Torah during the week, it's worth X amount. On Shabbos, it's worth 1,000 times more. 1,000 times more. Now don't get this out, or people are just going to learn like an hour on Shabbos, and then the rest of the week you'll take off. Right? But this is a great secret he's revealing to us. It's not that Shabbos is just a little more Torani, a little more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Shabbos is a different universe. The whole playing field is a different thing. And it's true when it comes to Averus as well. There's a sefer from the Prima Gadim called Matan Tzcharen Shel Mitzvos. And in that sefer, in Chakira Ches, he raises the following question. When I do an Aveira on Shabbos, is that worse than when I do an Aveira on a Wednesday afternoon? You ever think about that? Why should it be? It's the same Aveira. It's the same Lashon Hara. I can't speak it then, I can't speak it now. But he entertains the possibility that an Aveira on Shabbos is it's a totally different thing. It might externally look the same, but it's an entirely different thing. So my friends, if that's true on the level of Nefesh, when it comes to a soul, that a loftier soul is a different thing, and a loftier time is a totally different thing, the same thing is true in place. When you talk about a holy place, it's a different thing. It's not that Eretz Yisrael is a better land. It's not that it's slightly better. It's pretty good here and it's just a little better there. Eretz Yisrael is an entirely different thing. The expectations of Eretz Yisrael are entirely different. What God expects from you in Eretz Yisrael is entirely different than what He expects from you in Chutz La'aretz. I don't want to frighten you too much because I'm supposed to be mechazek you today. We'll get there. We still have a few minutes left. We're not done yet. But I want to scare you first. I want to scare you with the words of the Chaya Adam, Rav Avram Danzig. The Chaya Adam, one of the great poskim of his time, wrote the Chaya Adam, the Chachmas Adam. He wrote a section of the Chachmas Adam called the Shari Tzedek, all about mitzvos hatluyos bar. It's about Eretz Yisrael. And he says, you know why it's so important that we need to learn the halachos of Eretz Yisrael? Not just the hashkafos, the halachos of Eretz Yisrael. He says in his Akdama, it's very frightening, im yichnos Adam lechatzer hamelech. If a person were to walk in, very similar to the Kotzker's mashal, if you were to walk into the king's courtyard, and you just like stroll in, you don't realize that there are certain hanhagos. There's a way to talk when you're in the king's courtyard. There's a way to dress when you're in the king's courtyard. V'lo yadam in hago. And you didn't bother to learn the rules of how you're supposed to act in the presence of the king. V'adai shemischayev benafsho. The king will look down from his window and see that you don't take his malchus seriously. And he'll point to his guard, he'll give him the signal. A second later, you'll be on the chopping block, off with your head. That's it. No trial, no discussion. That's it. Game over. You come to the king's palace and you don't know how to act? Says the Chachmas Adam in his Akdama to Shari Tzedek, Kol Shekin HaRotza L'dor Bar Tzeinu HaKadosha. A Jew wants to come into the king of king's palace, the Melech Malchem Lachim, V'lo Baki B'chol Adinim, and you don't know how to act? You don't know the halachos? You don't realize that a cucumber in Eretz Yisrael is a totally different thing than a cucumber in Chutz La'aretz? And all of a sudden you start looking at these fruits and vegetables and the things that you're eating, trumos, maestros, shmita, it's a different thing. And some things that your life depend upon. You're not an expert in these halachos, he says. Hanoagim sham, you're not well versed in the practices of that place of Eretz Yisrael. Damo berosha, your blood is on your own head. You can't just come to the king's palace in a casual way. And again, this is the part of Eretz Yisrael that pushes us away, that frightens us. Maybe I can't live in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe I'm not a real Eretz Yisrael type of person. Maybe I should just stay in Chutz Haaretz. But at the same time, you know that Eretz Yisrael is the real thing. And you feel frustrated with Chutz Haaretz, just practicing mitzvos. What do I mean by practicing mitzvos? So I refer to the Medrash that Rashi and Parshas Ekev, the Ramban, and others quote. What are you doing when you do a mitzvah in Chutz Haaretz? So you'll think, it's the same mitzvah as Eretz Yisrael. It's just like not, you know, as good. No. It's a totally different thing. Rashi quotes the Medrash Sifrei in Parshas Ekev. When you got kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, what does Hashem say to us? You should continue to practice mitzvos. You should still do mitzvos. Hinichu tefillin, put on your tefillin, put a mezuzah on your home. Why? So that when you come back to Israel, that it shouldn't be like a foreign thing to you when you come back to Eretz Yisrael. Mezuzah is not a mitzvah that's dependent on Eretz Yisrael. The mezuzah you put on your house in Chutz Haaretz is the same mitzvah as the mezuzah you practice in Eretz Yisrael. There are things that are only practiced in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Haaretz. Why does he give the example of tefillin, mezuzahs? Those things are 100% applicable. You're not just doing it as chinuch, as practice in the Chutz Haaretz. But Chazal are telling us, yes, at some level it is. As real as it is, of course it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to put up the mezuzah. Of course it is. But on some level, compared to the real thing, it's just practice. You're just making sure that you continue, you know, you keep up the regimen so that when you get back to Eretz Yisrael, you'll know how to act. That's a very powerful Maimon Chazal. To feel that everything we're doing here is just practice, and Eretz Yisrael is the real thing, but again, that intimidates us. That scares us from Eretz Yisrael. Because you know, when you step into Eretz Yisrael, this is the big league. This is where it counts. And this pushes us away from Eretz Yisrael. This causes us to feel unworthy of Eretz Yisrael. On top of all of our other concerns. But my friends, I want to end on a very, very positive note. And the truth is, everything I told you up to this point was really to get to these last two points. Because this is what inspired me to really give this year and to think about my connection to Eretz Yisrael. And that is that on the one hand, like we said, Eretz Yisrael is a very overwhelming place. It demands a lot. It's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshvei. It wants a lot from us. It expects a lot from us. You're in the king's courtyard. And yet at the same time, there's a part of us, every time we step into Eretz Yisrael, that it feels so right, it feels so natural. It feels so comfortable. Because when a person comes home, and unfortunately it's not true in every home, but halavai it should be, a home should be the safest, most comfortable place for a person to go. It's not true, unfortunately, for everyone. But for those of us who are zocha to have such a place to call home, you know the feeling that you get when you come home after you've been away from home. And you come back to your bed, and it's your, you know, it's your house. You feel, it just feels right. And there's a part of Eretz Yisrael that calls to a Jew. As much as there's a part of Eretz Yisrael that demands, make sure you're ready when you come to Eretz Yisrael. Understand the responsibility to be in Eretz Yisrael. Understand that you're coming to the place where God reigns. It's not like Chutz Laaretz, which is a godless land. You're coming to Eretz Yisrael, and there's massive expectations of you. And yet at the same time, Eretz Yisrael says to you, come. My child, my son, my daughter, come back. This is where you belong. You should feel very, this is who you are. The Svarim HaKadoshim explain, when Avram is told, Lech Lecha, go from where you are, go to Eretz Yisrael. Lech Lecha is the call, go to Eretz Yisrael. The Svarim HaKadoshim explained, Lech Lecha means what? Go, Lecha, go to yourself. Go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll find who you really are. That is who you are. Yehuda Avner wasn't joking around when he said to the Queen of England that I'm from Yerushalayim. He understood, I'm from Yerushalayim. This is my Lech Lecha, this is who I am. This is who I really am, Be'etzem. And therefore Eretz Yisrael is calling to us. Eretz Yisrael cares so much about us. Eretz Yisrael wants us to feel comfortable, despite all of the expectations of coming to the land. Eretz Yisrael says, come, be comfortable here. This is the best place, this is your home. You should feel safer here than anywhere else in the world, regardless of what they say on the news. This is the safest place for a Jew to be. And I'm going to help you. Eretz Yisrael speaks to us and says, come sit with me. And together we'll bring the Geula. Together we'll take those final steps together. Eretz Yisrael wants so badly for us to be within its midst. And I want to share with you two ideas that I think, again, something you could take with you to think about. How a Jew has to appreciate that call, that loving call that Eretz Yisrael sends to each and every one of us. The first one begins in the Gemara, the Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Klaim. In Maseches Klaim of the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the ninth parak, the Gemara darshens the pasuk in Tehillim. Es haleich lefnei Hashem ba'artzos hachayim. Eretz Yisrael is referred to as what? As an artzos hachayim, a land of life. A land of real life. Right, it says the Talmud Yerushalmi, artzos hachayim is Eretz Yisrael. It's not 100% clear from the pasuk, although again we might think of Artzos HaChaim and the pasuk as obviously referring to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Yerushalmi says Artzos HaChaim refers to Eretz Yisrael because in the times of Tchiyas HaMeisim, those who are buried in Israel are going to come back to life first. That's why it's called Artzos HaChaim. Eretz Yisrael is a land of life. And the Yerushalmi gives its explanation as to why it's called Eretz Achaya. But let's go a step further. Why is Eretz Yisrael called Eretz Achaya? So I remember about 15 years ago when I was able to spend one year in Eretz Yisrael learning in yeshiva, I spent the Shabbos at the home of Rabbeinu Eisner. I hope that name is still known to some of you. He passed away not so long ago. He's a great personality from Eretz Yisrael. One of the people I feel showed me and gave me a real taste of what it means to be an Eretz Yisrael Dikiyid. A person who had unbelievable stories about his own personal experience of his connection to Eretz Yisrael. And on Motzei Shabbos, it was towards the end of the year, I was heading back to America shortly thereafter. But Benny gave each of us, four of us were there that Shabbos, he gave us a sefer called Amira Yafa. It's not a sefer all about Eretz Yisrael, it was a relative of his wife, had written the sefer, a very interesting likud, different collection of different ideas. And in that sefer, under one of the entries, in entry number 124, it asked this question: why is Eretz Yisrael called Eretz Achaim, Artzos Achaim? Es aleich levnei Hashem ba'artzos Achaim, which the Talmud Yerushalmi says is Eretz Yisrael. And it quotes from a great rabbi by the name of Rav Moshe Chagiz. Rav Moshe Chagiz said, the answer to why Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Achaim, listen carefully, is because of a Gemara in Maseches Makos Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Listen to this unbelievable Gemara. A Jew commits a crime, and he's judged in Beis Din, and he's deemed to be a murderer, a rotzeach. He decides, I'm running. He runs away, he runs out of the court, and he runs to a different court, and he says, please, can I have a retrial? Can we look at it again? Let's look at the evidence again. Let's redo the case. What do we say to such a person? Sorry, sir. You've been tried in court. Case closed. You've been found guilty. There's nothing to discuss. Case closed. Says the Gemara, Makos Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. You run from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. And you say in Eretz Yisrael to the Beis Din, can I please have a retrial? Says the Gemara, such a person is granted a retrial. Because maybe the merit of Eretz Yisrael will turn the case around. Says Rav Moshe Chagiz, why is Eretz Yisrael called an Eretz Achaim? Artzos Achaim? Why is it a land of life? Because it can literally take a person who's been sentenced, who's been found guilty, who's sentenced to death, and it can literally save his life. But when you think about that, what's the pshat? The pshat is that Eretz Yisrael has a different perspective on a person. That means a person who is found guilty in Chutz Laaretz, a person who is labeled by a very fine Beis Din in Chutz Laaretz to be a murderer, you come to Eretz Yisrael and you have a different perspective. You see with Eretz Yisrael the eyes. And you see a different thing. You see a different Jew, a different person. I was thinking last night, maybe that's what Yeshaya Navi was saying. The famous pasuk, Ba'ameich kulam tzadikim, that the people and every Jew is a tzaddik, is a righteous person. What's the next part of the pasuk? Yeshaya Perak Samach. Le'olam yirshu aretz. Le'olam yirshu. You want to be a tzaddik? Come to Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laaretz, you might be guilty. You might be a murderer in the eyes of God. But you come to Eretz Yisrael, we look at you in a different way. And you learn to look at yourself in a different way. Lech lecha. Come to Eretz Yisrael and find out who you really are. See what it means to be a Ben Eretz Yisrael or a Bas Eretz Yisrael. Come find out who, in fact, you really are. Let Eretz Yisrael be the judge of who you really are. But there's a second Gemara that I think has a lesson that's almost equally strong, perhaps even more strong. And that's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos on the Daled Amud Beis. Listen to this Gemara. What does it mean to have Eretz Yisrael eyes? What does it mean to see the world through the perspective of Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mibnei ma lo nemar nun ba'ashrei. You notice that ever? You're going through Ashrei, right? It has all the letters of the alphabet. All of a sudden, nun is missing. Says Rabbi Yochanan, why is there no nun? Why is there no nun in Ashrei? Mibnei sheyesh ba ma'palasan shel sonei Yisrael. Because the nun would have been a reference to the nefila, to the falling out of the Jewish people. That would have been, and you can see from the fact that, what's the next pasuk? Someh Hashem l'chol hanoflim. So the Gemara says it's clear that the nun would have been, the proper thing to write about would have been the failures, the shortcomings of the Jewish people. Dichsiv, it quotes a pasuk in Amos, in the fifth parak, nafla lo sosif kum bisulas Yisrael. The virgin of Israel, the innocent one of Israel, nafla lo sosif kum. Says the Navi Amos, Nafla, you're going to fall. Lo sosif kum, you're not going to get up again. Besulas Yisrael. You are innocent, you were pure, you were holy, but you've lost that. You've given that away. You've spoiled your purity. Says the Gemara, B'ma'arava, but in Eretz Yisrael, they read the pasuk totally different. B'ma'arava means in the west. West of Babylon is, of Babel is Eretz Yisrael. B'ma'arava mitarti lahachi. In Eretz Yisrael, they read the pasuk totally differently. How do they read it? You know, it's a chassidish of pshat. How do you say a chassidish of pshat in the pasuk? I'll give a little class in Chassidus now. How do you say a Chassidus shot in a pasuk? You move around the punctuation, right? You move around the punctuation. That's how you become a Chassidus Rebbe. Okay, so if anyone's interested in pursuing that as a career path, I don't know if they have that as a major in Stern College for Women, but if you're interested, that's all you have to do. You have to learn how to just break up the pasuk differently, and it turns it over on its head. A new universe is revealed. How did they read the pasuk in Bavel? Pashup shot. Nafla lo sosif kum. You have fallen and you will not get up. Besulas Yisrael, the innocent, sweet, beautiful Jewish people, Yisrael. But Ma'arava in Eretz Yisrael, Matarzi Hachi, they read it like this. Nafla, it's true, you fell down. But guess what? Lo sosif linpol, you're not going to continue to fall. Nafla lo sosif, comma, you fall and you will not continue to fall. Rather, kum, besulas Yisrael. You're going to get back up. You're going to pick yourself back up. You have the ability to be attacking something great. Think about the words of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh describing the period in which we're living right now. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh asked the following question. In Mitzrayim we left on the 49th level of Tumah. Because if you fall to level 50, it's the point of no return. And yet the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, but I know that before Mashiach comes, the Jewish people are going to fall to level 50. So how are we going to get out of that mess? So he says, well, before we had the Torah, 49 was as low as you can get and still recover. Once you have the Torah, you can even get out of level 50. But the Rechaim HaKadosh is telling us that he has a tradition. The Rechaim HaKadosh has a tradition that the time period in which we're living now, we are sitting in level 50. The time period before the coming of Mashiach, we are sitting in the greatest filth of all time. And therefore, there's a part of us that wants to say, it's over. We're not going to rebound. The Jewish people cannot bounce back. And maybe that's true from the Bavel. Maybe that's a chutzla or its perspective. But Eretz Yisrael cries out to the Jewish people. Nafla, it's true you fall into a very low place. But guess what? Lo sosif limpo, you're not going to fall any further. Kum besulas Yisrael, you're going to pick yourself up. You're going to be able to mitakim. It's true, in the Beis Din in Chutz La'aretz, they told you you're guilty. But Eretz Yisrael says, I see you differently. Lech lecha, go to yourself in a different way. See yourself as being able to mitakim, of being able to partner with Eretz Yisrael, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, with the Jewish people, and bring the Geula Shlema. Chutz La'aretz always has a negative perspective on things. Rav Shlomo Freifeld used to say from one of his Rebbeim, Rav Shmidman, a beautiful Vart. In Yirmiyahu it says, a very well-known pasuk, it refers to, Lechdech Achar B'midbar Be'eretz Lo Zarua. Right, in a land that is not planted. So Rav Shmidman, Rav Shlomo Freifeld, one of his Rebbeim, in his younger years, Rav Shmidman used to say that America is an Eretz Lo Zarua. What does it mean, America is an Eretz Lo Zarua? It's a land where lo, where no, where negativity is zaruah, is planted. It's land where they tell you you can't. That you're not going to. You're not going to. The chances of you becoming like famous in America, you can read about it in People Magazine. That's about as close as you're going to get. But you're not going to become it. Because it's an eretz where low, where no, is what they're going to say to you. That you've fallen and you will not get up. You're not going to rebound. What does Eretz Yisrael say to you? Eretz Yisrael says to you, Nafla, it's true you've fallen, but lo sosif limpo, you're going to get back up. Kum besulas Yisrael. Pick yourself up. Believe that it's possible to change. I read a stat one time. In America, 72% of emotional expressions, right, words that express an emotion, emotive words, 72% of words in the English language are negative. Which means, it's an Eretz, lo zeruah. It's a land where negativity is the language of the street, to be a pessimist. Eretz Yisrael has the most unbelievable optimism in Klal Yisrael, in the goodness of a Jew. That same Jew, again, was found guilty in one Beis Din. Come to Eretz Yisrael, it's an Eretz Achayim. We'll be able to turn the whole thing around. The Gemara tells a story that when Rabbi Zeira, one of the greatest minds, when Rabbi Zeira, in the 4th century, he was literally one of the greatest Torah scholars of his time. He moved from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And you know what he did when he got there? He fasted 100 fasts that he should forget all of his learning from Bavel. He wanted to forget all the Torah that he taught in Bavel, all the learning that he had in Bavel. He fasted 100 times that he should not remember any of the Torah from Bavel. Why? He had such beautiful Torah. We learned Talmud Bavli more than Talmud Yerushalmi. The Torah center was, at that time, Bavel. What does it mean he wanted to forget the Torah of Bavel in order to mekabel Torah Eretz Yisrael? I think what Rizera is saying, it's a different perspective. And Eretz Yisrael teaches you, start fresh. It doesn't matter what you've been up until now. Lech lecha, I'm going to show you a version of yourself you never saw. And Rizera was prepared to give up everything, to start fresh, to come to Eretz Yisrael, a land that tells you you have so much potential, you can be so much bigger and greater than you think you are. They told you in Chutz La'aretz, you're fallen and there's no chance. Eretz Yisrael says, you can pick yourself back up. You can be awesome. You have such tremendous potential. And that's why I think One other Gemara that I'd like to try to explain. A Gemara in Bava Basra. And with this I'll basically wrap up. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, you step off the plane in Eretz Yisrael, and you take a breath, and all of a sudden you're Albert Einstein. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Nun Ches, says, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machtim. You breathe in the air of Israel and you become wise. Really? Should we test that? You take an IQ test right before you get on the plane, you get to Eretz Yisrael, take a deep breath, administer a test, and let's see if you do better. What does that mean? Eretz Yisrael makes a person, the air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise. You walk around Eretz Yisrael and all of a sudden you're wise. The truth is we feel that sometimes. You spend the year learning in Eretz Yisrael, those of us who are fortunate enough to have such an experience, and you feel, you absorb wisdom in a different way. It's a land of wisdom. The Gemara says in Kedushin, Adap Mem Tes, Asara Kavim Chachma, Yardu La'olam, there are 10 portions of wisdom in the world. Tisha Natlu Eretz Yisrael, 9 portions of Chachma are found in Israel, and the rest of the world divides up that last portion. Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machim. What does that mean? What does it mean Eretz Yisrael makes you wise? And why Dafka does the Gemara use the word Chachma? So, I like to learn Sefer Chassidus. And in Sefer Chassidus, it explains the concept of Chachma as being the letters of Kolach Ma. Chachma is koach ma. What does it mean, koach ma? The potential, koach, poel means actual. Koach means the potential of something. Koach ma means the potential of something. Eretz Yisrael is avira, the Eretz Yisrael is machkim. The air of Eretz Yisrael makes you wise. It gives you chachma. 9 out of 10 portions of wisdom are found in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? It means that Eretz Yisrael tells you that there's koach ma, there's a potential for something. You thought you were guilty, because that's what they told you in the Beis Din in Chutz Laaretz. You thought that nafla lo sosif kum besulas Yisrael, you can't get back up in Chutz Laaretz. Eretz Yisrael says to you, it's true, I make demands of you. But at the same time, I believe in you even more than you believe in yourself. It's kalach ma, there's potential for something more. There's potential, you have more potential. And together we have potential to accomplish something great. When the Baal HaTanya sat in captivity in that dungeon, in that jail, and when the Baal HaTanya finally emerged, on Yud Tes Kislev, a day celebrated by Hasidim and many others around the world. A beautiful day. It's, you know, it's the birthday of Hasidus by many. Yud Tes Kislev, a chashuv day. When the Baal HaTanya came out of captivity, he wrote a letter. A letter that was circulated among his Hasidim. A letter that was sent to the Berdichever, his good friend, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. And in that letter, we have the letter. The Baal HaTanya said, you know why I got out of jail? You know what got me out of this dungeon that I was living in? He said it was only the merit of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't say it was the merit of my Torah study, my Talmidim, all the tefillos that people davened to get me out, the political connections. The Baal HaTanya said, I was zochet to get out of this dungeon because of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael loved me and somehow pulled me out. What does that mean? But it's exactly what we're trying to explain. It's an Eretz Yisrael perspective on yourself. Lech lecha, Hashem says that. Go see yourself in a way that you've never seen yourself before. Eretz Yisrael is calling to you. I'll take you out of the lowest of places. I'll take you out of the darkest captivities. But you have to just believe that you have a kesher with me. A bond. That's an eternal bond. That's not even based, again, on all the demands that I place upon you. The Shemitah and the Trumas and Maestros and all of the higher standards I expect of you when you come to Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael says to you, it speaks to you, I love you, and that's an Ava that's She'ena Tluya Badavar. It's not dependent upon anything in the world. So I want to conclude by reading to you just a few lines from the Sefer Makor Baruch. Makor Baruch was written by Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, the author of the Torah Tamima, his famous work on Chumash. And he writes, in the first volume, on page 760, he's writing his Zichronos. He's writing memories about his family. And he's talking about his grandfather. And he says, my grandfather was a tremendous lover of Eretz Yisrael. But the truth is, all Jews love Eretz Yisrael. And that was something my grandfather would express. Listen to what he writes. My grandfather would often describe the feeling that a Jew has, an inherent feeling that a Jew has towards Eretz Yisrael. It's a world of difference. It's a different sug, a different category of love that a Jew feels for Eretz Yisrael than any other person feels for his country, than an American feels for America. And he goes through it. He says, that the love that those who have a love for a particular land is based on a tam or a siba, is based on a particular cause. Why do I love America? Kamo l'mashal, you say to a person, why do you love America? And he says, because it's a land of freedom. It's a land where I like the politics, I like the democracy. Why do I love France? Because of X, Y, or Z. Why do I treat as something precious Italia? Because of a certain thing there. Why do I love Germany? Because of X, Y, or Z. He said, but my grandfather used to explain. The inherent love, that it, listen to these words, they're such beautiful lishonos. The inherent love that a Jew has for Eretz Yisrael is not based on anything in the world. Avazu lo teida sibos. It's not based on any particular cause or any particular understanding. Lo tevakesh cheshbonos, lo tidrosh kol tam. Don't try to figure out why you feel a longing for Eretz Yisrael. It's just a part of who you are. Achi misahevis memela. It's a love that's inherent, that's automatic. Kamo miteva umitolda. It's like that which you're born with. It's part of your DNA. It's your spiritual genes that are part of you. Ukimbo avas avos labanim. The same way that what that a father loves a child. Vavas adam le'evari gufo. The same way that you love your arm. And he goes, he says, if so, mishalu adam. If a person would ask you, say to a parent, why do you love your children? Why do I love my children? Such a strange question. For a normal parent, it's such a strange, what do I love my child? Of course I can't put that into words. You ask someone, why do you love your arm? Why do you love your left arm? You have a right arm. Why do you love your left arm? What do you love about it? Why do I love my left arm? It's me. What do you mean, why do I love it? It's a part of who I am. Lo yada lahashiv, kol tam v'kol siva. I can't describe to you in a few words what I love about myself. So too, that's the feeling a Jew has for Eretz Yisrael. It's beyond any explanation. It's a love that's ainat tluya b'davar. So again, while on the one hand, Eretz Yisrael expects so much of us, but Eretz Yisrael just calls to us and says, come home, lech lecha, come to yourself. Connect to who you are. See yourself in a different way. Believe that there can be a geula, and that we can partner together to bring that geula. So Amir Tashem, we should all be zocha. We should return to Eretz Yisrael Bekar of Mamish. We should all, somehow, Mashiach should come today, and we should be on a plane or an eagle or however we're going to get there this afternoon. Right? But if we're not zocha to physically be there soon, and halavai it should be, right? But we should at least be people who are connected in the deepest of ways to Eretz Yisrael, to feel and to hear that call, and to at least begin to see yourself with that Eretz Yisrael thicker perspective. To see the goodness of Klai Yisrael, the goodness of the world, and the possibility of Geula. And Amir Tashem, if we start to see with Eretz Yisrael eyes, we'll be able to emerge from the Eretz Lo Zaruah, a place of negativity, a place that tells you you can't, and we'll be zocha to return to Eretz Yisrael with the Binyan B'Samikdash from Herabi Aminu.